be seated. Everybody say, count it all joy. Well, we're going to be talking about the joy of the Lord this morning. I'm on assignment, and I just lost my outline here. These devices do some crazy stuff, right, sometimes. Praise God. Hallelujah. James chapter 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Everybody say, count it all joy. When you fall into diverse various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. Hallelujah. Lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally without reproach, and shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Everybody say, count it all joy. Now, James, by the Holy Spirit, has given us four biblical imperatives of profiting from trials and through trials, and we're going to just focus on the first one. Count it all joy. Everybody say, count it all joy. Now, he didn't say it was a joy, but he said count it joy. Count means an accounting term, which means it's something you got to consider as a cause and occasion to rejoice or to rekindle your joy. He said, not if, but when you fall into various trials. Knowing is the second imperative. Amen. Letting patience have its perfect work is the third imperative. And asking for wisdom is the fourth imperative. Those four things help us profit from and through our trials, our troubles, are very traumatic moments. Now, this is a big deal because handling adversity is the first telltale sign of our faith. How do you handle adversity? Now, some people like to skip the steps. They're trying to, they know all the facts, but they don't know that the testing of their faith is on the line. And what faith tested produces, it produces patience. And we're to allow that patience to have a perfected work or perfecting work in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. And so the Lord has designed and destined each of us as born-again believers and Christ followers to profit and make positive spiritual progress through the various trials and diverse trials and tests and troubles that we all encounter. So see, the experience of adversity is predicted because Scripture says in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But some people think it's strange that I'm going through a trial or trouble. But he said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So the James, by the Holy Spirit, gives us the first big key to profiting. How many of you like profiting? Who likes losing? Who likes loss? Nobody. So what's the first big key to profiting and making substantial positive spiritual progress through and from trials, troubles, and tests of life that the enemy brings into our lives? Everybody say, count it all joy. Now, the Berkeley translation says it this way, verse 2, consider it maximum joy. Now, all of us should be thinking of right now that is my joy maximized? Is my joy optimized? Is my joy realized? Because, see, some people's joy is low or little or at a loss. they lack joy. He said, consider it maximum joy, my brothers, when you get involved in all sorts of trials. In other words, you've got to keep your joy level on high and expect to receive when you encounter various tests, trials, and trouble, either physically, mentally, relationally, or financially. Now, why do we need to count it all joy? Well, James 1, verse 3 in the Barclay translation again says, well aware that the testing of our faith brings out steadfastness. But let steadfastness have full play so that you may be complete and rounded out with no defects whatsoever. Whew, glory to God. So in other words, joy gives you patience, which is cheerful endurance. Some people think patience is this. I'm just putting up with this. I don't know how much longer I'm going to put up with this. Or they're drumming their fingers on. Come on, God. Come on, God. When you going to do it to God? When is it going to happen? When is it going to turn around? When is the miracle going? When is it going to change? That's really impatience. But we think it's patience. It is cheerful endurance. That means I'm enduring it, but I'm doing it how? Cheerfully. Joy gives you patience and cheerful endurance and staying power. Why do you need that? Because it helps you stay in a position of faith while God is working a miracle in your life. See, the enemy's impatient, and he tries to make you impatient. You can outlast the devil, but if you don't count it all joy, there's not going to be patience produced to help keep your faith in position. I'll say it again. If you don't count it all joy, you'll never produce the patience you need, the cheerful endurance you need to keep your faith in position. See, while he's working all things together for your good, your faith is stable and steadfast. It's not struggling faith. It's not stagnant faith. Come on now. It's not shattered faith or scattered faith. It is stable faith, steadfast faith. That means you stay on course, believing and expecting and receiving from God. Regardless, friends, of how devastated and dire or difficult or dark your circumstances are, you can count it all joy. Everybody say, I can. Count it all joy. Now, as we look at the communion table and we see the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and remember him, the body that was broken for us, the blood that was shed for us, the stripes he took on his back for our healing, the piercing of the nails in his hands and the crown of thorns on his head and the spear in his side, and his feet, the blood that was shed for our eternal redemption, that was taken up into the heavenly holy of holies to purchase eternal, permanent deliverance for us, the blood that ratified and established our new covenant, our better covenant, established on bread of promises. Come on now, the remission of and forgiveness of our sins, the suffering and torture that Jesus Christ went through through the death, his death, hell, and the grave. So when we look at the communion table, we have to recognize and realize that Jesus Christ paid too high a price for our victory, for us to be and remain defeated. Come on now, to live dejected, to walk around discouraged, to fall and wallow in the bottomless pit of despair, or to live with depression. He paid too high a price for us to live defeated and be dejected and depressed and discouraged. So today, maybe You have not been getting any answers to prayer, or victory seems to be lost. It's now time to check your joy level. You may need, brothers and sisters, to turn your joy level and rejoicing from the off position or the low setting up to high setting. Everybody say, count it all joy. Now, look, verse 2 again, James 1, 2. Because we're gonna encourage you very highly to turn your joy level up this morning. Count it all, my brethren, count it all joy. Everybody say, count it all joy. When, not if, when you fall into various trials. That means your faith, your belief system is being tested to prove what you really believe. And the devil accommodates you by bringing adversity, adverse circumstances, constantly in your life. Either it's a physical adversity, either it's a mental or emotional adversity, even it's a relational adversity, you know, struggling with strife and the discord in the family or relationships, or if it's a financial adversity. The devil brings it to test your faith and to shatter and scatter your faith. See, when you're going through difficult times, you got to turn your joy up. Turn to someone next to you and smile on real nice and say, you got to turn your joy up. Turn to someone else next to you and say, is your joy turned up? Hey. Now, I was here during praise service, so sometimes I know I'm on assignment because I need to turn some people's joy up and help them. Praise God. So you remember, you're supposed to count it all joy in both the good times and troubled times. Everybody's excited when you win the game, when you won this or you got this, or you have everything together, everything's calm, you got money in the bank, you got no pain in your body. Everybody's singing praises then. See, the word, when he says count it all joy, everybody say all. The all in this verse encompasses every level of joy. From cheerfulness to calm delight and gladness to exceeding great joy. So we're going to turn your joy level and rejoicing level up today. So joy level one is get the frown off your face. So sometimes, remember it says in Psalms 100 verse 4, serve the Lord with, y'all can know the scripture, right? With what? Everybody say gladness. How are we supposed to serve the Lord? Oh, man, we got to notify our face then. So I'm glad to be in church. Remember David said in Psalms 121, I was glad when they said unto me. I was what? Glad. I was glad when you get the text message, either on a Saturday or a Sunday morning, say the church is available. You get that's time you get what? To get glad. Not to get sad, not to get mad, but to get glad. Amen? So gladness starts first. You start cheering up, brightening up. You get the frown off your face. You don't walk around with a sign that says, come talk to me, I want to have a pity party. The next level of joy is you smile. Usually you can do that in 10 seconds or less. We used to have it when I was in the business industry, and they said, you know, you got to, when you answer the phone, when you're talking to somebody, I was in a restaurant business, and they said, when you're talking to somebody, even through drive-thru, you got to smile. When you answer the phone, you got to smile. Why? Because that comes through. When God calls you, you got to smile. Yes, sir. What you need, Lord? Hallelujah. When you come to church and greet one another, it's at a holy kiss. You know, unholy kiss is not smiling. Hallelujah. The third level of joy is laughter. Now, he said, Pastor, you didn't tell any jokes. Well, if you want to get ahead and turn your joy level, you got to laugh. I didn't say fake laugh. I said faith laugh, F-A-I-T-H, laugh. See, when you laugh by faith at impossibilities, because your victory is in Jesus Christ. You're not laughing because the doctor said, this is no hope for this. This is never going to get better. You should turn around, or be respectful, of course, but turn around and get up in the corner and go, ha, ha, ha. Now, that's a strong statement to some of you, because you listen to everything the doctor says and medical science says, and your Savior says, by my stripes, you're healed. You were healed, not going to get healed or trying to get healed. You were healed. Come on now. His body was broken for you. Come on now. On the cross 2,000 years ago, he paid and purchased and procured your healing back when he was beaten and stripped. Come on now. And whipped. By his stripes, you were healed. You just laugh because the devil's trying to lie to you, even through a medical professional. Thank God for them, but they only know the facts. They can't deal with faith most of the time, unless they're born again or spirit-filled and Christian. And they'll tell you, well, these are the facts. These are the medical facts. And then we ought to get up and say, ha, 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 my God already turned these facts around, because he said by his stripes we were healed. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my destruction. Come on now. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. Himself, the Bible says, Matthew 8:17, himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. You got to laugh your way into health sometimes. You got to laugh. Faith laughs at impossibilities. When the doctor says, no, won't get better. No, this is a terminal illness. No, this condition is not good. You got to laugh at that impossibility. But some people haven't got to level 3 yet. We got 10 levels to go. And level 3 is ha, ha, ha. I didn't say you feel like laughing. You faith like laughing. Praise the Lord. Why do you laugh? Because Jesus has gotten you the victory. Jesus is Lord. Come on, say Jesus is Lord. Come on, say Jesus is Lord. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying Jesus has absolute mastery over death in all its phases. See, a form of physical death is sickness. Jesus is Lord. Death in all its phases. Sin and all its consequences. Come on now. Hell and all its hosts. Satan and all his works. Whatever Satan did in my body, whatever Satan is trying to do in my body, in my brain, in my blood, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha on the devil. Hallelujah. The fact that you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and the truth that the battle is the Lord, you neutralize and defuse the fear and the threat environment. Now, I'm talking to somebody in here, because you need to neutralize and defuse the threat environment. The threat environment, every time they come in, they got bad news. They got sombering news. They tell you, we're going to put one more shot in you, one more prescription on you, one more deal on you. Nothing wrong with that. Pastor Cynthia and I went through the medical juggernaut last week with tests and stuff. But through every test and examination we both went through, I said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. In the car, I'd be laughing it up. See, you show a great respect for God when you laugh in the face of impossibilities. Come on, let's practice. Y'all say, ha, ha, ha. Come on, practice again. Say, ha, ha, ha. Now, concerning laughter, Dad Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagin, said, the world must learn to receive Jesus, but the children of God must learn to receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will have you, stir you up to laugh sometimes at impossibilities. If the devil brings to your mind, he also said this in a prophecy, Kenneth E. Hagin, he said, if the devil brings this to your mind, your faults, your failures, your past, and then you turn to him, Now, see, this is what we got to learn. He said, you turn to him, the devil, and say, ha, Mr. Devil, that doesn't exist anymore. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Come on, that's what communion is about. We remember the blood and body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Come on now, all that's washed away. Come on now, then you laugh at in the face of the enemy and say, ha, 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 ha. And then if the enemy persists, then you keep persisting laughing. Dr. Norval Hayes, who's in heaven today, he was a board member of Kenneth Hagin Ministries for a long time. He's a prophet of God and a very wealthy businessman, very affluent businessman, very smart businessman. He started a restaurant some time ago, and the restaurant was losing money. I mean, it was a dead door, dead as a doornail. That business was just leaking. Almost bankrupt. And that restaurant, and he said, Lord, what do I do? And the Holy Spirit said, go and park in front of the parking lot of that restaurant and laugh at it. What a strategy. Now, this thing is about losing. He's about ready to foreclose on that thing and bankrupt on that thing. He said, this thing ain't even up off the ground. It's underwater. So he drove for 15 minutes a day, 15 to 20 minutes a day. And parked in the parking lot, didn't even get out of his car, and just laughed at the restaurant. See, some people, well, that don't make any sense. Well, faith does not make sense. But the Word of God is not designed to make sense. It's designed to make faith. And the Bible says, at destruction and famine, you laugh. Job 5:22, at destruction and famine, you shall laugh. But most people hadn't hit that third level of joy where they laugh at impossibilities. And so he went in the restaurant and said, ha, 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 for 15, 20 minutes, ha, 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 ha. He said that restaurant began to turn. People began to come. Sales began to increase. I'm talking to somebody. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And that thing became very profitable. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kenneth E. Hagin one time was up in the East Coast, upper East Coast. And he was staying in a pastor's house, parsonage, and he had some very alarming symptoms in his body. He said it looked like he was having a stroke and a heart attack at the same time. And he got paralysis all in his face and the heart beating like he was having a heart attack. He was just healed of that as a teenager. Well, the devil doesn't. He's a persistent cuss. He likes the counterattack. Most people lose their healing or their blessing based on a counterattack than the original attack. Why? Because they don't keep their faith up and steady in position, and they don't keep their joy up. Are you listening to me? And so he got attacked in his body again, and he's in the room. And his heart's beating out of his chest. He says something like, man, I need to call the ambulance here. 911. And he's already had stroke symptoms because his half his face is partially paralyzed. He can't even go to sleep. He said, I can't even close my eyes because my eyes blink open. What does the Holy Spirit says? He said, just laugh. And he said, he's just as dry underneath the sheets. Underneath, he said, ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. And the devil came 10 minutes later. What are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you, Mr. Devil. He said, because you said I'm not going to get my healing this time. Because he said, you're right. You know what the doctor said? This thing is incurable. It's incurable. And he said, this time you're not going to get your healing. He said, ha, 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 ha. Kept on laughing. 10 minutes later, the devil came back. He said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you, Mr. Devil, because he's persistent. And he said, what are you laughing at me for? He said, you said, I'm not going to get my healing. He said, that's right. You're not going to get your healing this time. And he said, well, I don't have to get it because Jesus already got it for me. 2,000 years ago on the cross, by his stripes, I'm healed. Praise God. And he said, ha, ha, ha. And he said he did that for 45 minutes. All the paralysis left him. All the symptoms disappeared. 45 minutes. We can't even get people to laugh for 45 seconds. In church. Everybody say, count it all joy. Look at this, Psalms 126, verse 2. Then was our mouths filled. Come on now, lift your hands and thank God. Say, Lord, fill my mouth with laughter. He said, then was our mouth filled with laughter. And it says, our tongue with singing. You, if the Holy Spirit fills your mouth with laughter, you have to yield to it. You have to respond to it. Somebody say, praise God. Because it doesn't make sense in the natural, but it's taking care of business in the supernatural. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Job 5:22. At destruction and famine, you shall laugh. Now, here's a key scripture. I don't have it in my notes, but I believe it's in Proverbs 17. It says, merry heart does good like a medicine. Some of us are walking around sick and depressed and despondent because you don't laugh enough. You're all knotted up with stress. You got anger and anxiety, both raging a war inside your brain. He said that destruction and famine laugh. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Some of us hadn't gotten to the place where we feel like rejoicing because we don't laugh in faith. We're missing that third level of joy. Always mad and sad and moody. You know, I'm dating myself. Some of the brothers might remember this. Hee Haw. Remember they used to sing that song? Gloom, despair, agony on me. So they want to always talk about the bad stuff, the miserable stuff, the wrong stuff, the ugly stuff, the toxic stuff, and never laugh. Faith sitting on the shelf. Faith lying dormant. Come on now. You got to turn everybody say, turn your faith up. Turn my joy up. Now the fourth level of joy is generosity. See, an immediate effect of the demonstration of the joy of the Holy Spirit is great generosity. I'm in the sales business. Those of you that do know, I sell insurance and life, health, retirement, Medicare. I meet a lot of unhappy people. Because a lot of people pulling out their meds and they're unhappy. Morning, all meds. And I'd just be laughing inside because I said, Lord, they just need some joy. But unhappy people never buy. And unjoyful people and Christians never give. See, your generosity determines your joy level. Oh, you know, it's getting quiet when I talk about money. Acts 4:26, look at this. And they worshiped together at the temple, New Living Translation, each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy. Everybody say great joy. And generosity. So that means great generosity and joy. Great generosity means, man, Pastor, we can't even wait till you finish the offering. We ready to give. We got the extra. Come on, I'm coming ready to give. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Happy people always give and are very generous. Hey, you going anywhere for lunch? Come on, let's go. I'm buying. Why don't you see a lot of that? A lot of people are unhappy. I don't want to be home and be bothered. I want to go home and take my nap. I want to go eat my bologna and cheese sandwich. Leave me alone. Won't even go out of their way for nobody. Unhappy. Somebody say glory to God. Now, Pastor Cynthia has seen this. I was laughing because of something we saw before at Raymond. I mean, they were so happy and hilarious because God loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. That word cheerful is the word, the Greek word hilarion, which means hilarious. Joyful. Hilarious, joyful. That means somebody laughing, somebody joyful, somebody prompt to do it. We saw people come in, and I don't have mine with me, but on me. It's in the office there, but, you know, they would throw the whole wallet up there. The offering. One lady threw a purse. Take all the money. She was very happy. We had somebody, they were praying for somebody out on stage. And it was a spontaneous area of giving. And people were giving money, writing checks, putting it on it. He's just passed out in the spirit. And then they brought... one guy brought a whole wad of $100 and just dumped it on him. These guys were happy. They were full of joy. Somebody say, praise God. Come on now. Those are miracles happening in those situations. Fifth level of joy. Singing. I'm just giving you some practical instruction here today. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Psalm 65, 14. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart. Shall sing for joy of heart. Sometimes you need to sing your way for joy in your heart. Your heart's heavy. Your heart's hindered by all these stuff going on. You got to get your heart happy. You got to sing for joy. That means you can't do it with your mouth closed. You got to sing, not listening to singing. Y'all hear that? Because some people listen to singing because they like Christian blues, rhythm and blues. Or they like stuff that's going to make them soothe their mood a little bit. Or some people step out of the Christian context and say, well, I need this kind of music that stimulates their flesh and not stirs up their faith. Oh, this is good stuff today. Somebody say, praise God. So you need to sometimes be singing. The Father likes singing. Amen. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sometimes I'm heading to work, I'm singing, and the God comes and gets in the car. He likes it. He likes it when you open up your heart and your lips through your own lips and sing to the Lord. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sixth level of joy is shouting. There's no other way to express his joy but to the Lord, but with loud shouts of praise. Psalms 27:6. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me in his tent. And I will offer sacrifice and shouting of joy. And I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. There was a time, I know Ken Copeland said he was very depressed. He wanted to quit. I'm talking to somebody this morning, either online or in person. Somebody want to give up, give in. We talked about it last week, spirit of faith. Is not a quitter. Quitting is not an option. That's what the scripture says in one of the translations of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Quitting is not an option. But some people want to quit. I just want to settle right here. I just quit. But you have to get that depression, discouragement off of you. So he said for about 30 days, he said he walked in like a cloud. A heavy cloud. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the garment of praise is for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness is a Latin Vulgate word that means discouragement and depression. And it's like a heavy coat on you. And he said, I know I wasn't thinking right, feeling right, something wasn't right. And the Holy Spirit, everybody said, thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told him, he said, you need to release your shout of praise. and shout for joy. Somebody say glory to God. It says the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So he's down there. He said, what do I do? He said, count to three and then say it out loud. And then shout. He said, say this out loud. He said, Satan, leave me now. He did it. And he led a group of people in the meeting that he had shared that testimony with. He said, Satan, leave me now. If you're walking in a cloud, a shroud of darkness, and you're like, man, I just want to go to heaven. Now let me know, because I can come back and slap you. Because you need to get out of that mindset. We got too much work to do for you to be getting out of here and skating out of here. Come on now. So y'all here with me? Somebody said, glory to God. So he said, Satan, leave me now. And three, one, two, three, Satan, leave me now. And then he said, shout. And he said, when he shouted, that heavy cloud, that heavy weight on him, just broken, disappeared. Somebody say hallelujah. David said, I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy or sacrifices of shouting. Now, I know you might shout at your spouse or shout at your girlfriend or boyfriend, and you shout and fuss and yell. But when's the last time you shouted for joy? Are y'all here with me this morning? God wants us to have a glorious balance of year. He wants this month of October for you and me to be full of joy. And with that, you experience victory after victory after victory. But you can't do that if your faith is all over the board, shattered and scattered. Your faith has to stay in position. That's why you have to count it all joy. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The seventh level of joy is dancing. When we go to these conferences and conventions, we need to get back to doing it here. But it's seen throughout the Bible, even as today, demonstrated joy or victory. Our response to something good happening is the same way in every culture among young and old. It says, praise him, Psalms 150, verse 4, praise him with the timbrel and dance. I'm not talking about a manufactured dance, but I'm talking about a Holy Ghost dance, where you take off under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and you just get to moving. I dance sometimes, my coat flies up like I'm Superman cape. And you get to moving, and the Holy Ghost gets to moving things in your life. Kenneth Hagin said once, he said, I've gotten more blessings, pronounced and prominent blessings from dancing than any other way. See, a dance is not something God gives you. You say, well, Pastor, I can't dance. Well, some of us probably in the clubs when we were younger. We knew how to drop it like it's hot. Some of us thought we were Michael Jackson or whoever moving around. No, it's not something God gives you. It's something you give God. Amen. A dance is what you give God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. A couple more scriptures and we're gonna take communion and we're gonna get into this. Amen. Stirring up your joy. So faith rejoices as well. Philippians 3:1, my father, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Everybody say, I should learn to rejoice and rejoice all the time and every day. Now you think about it. Last Sunday, Monday through Saturday, yesterday, how often did you rejoice? It says rejoice always. Now listen, Philippians 4:4. Amplified Classic. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourself in him. You might have a hard day ahead of you, a heavy schedule ahead of you, a hectic situation in front of you. But he said, gladden yourself in him. Again, I say rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. Rejoice is the Greek word that means to be cheerful, to be glad, to joy, to rekindle or stir up the joy by rejoicing exceedingly, or to rejoying or refilling your joy. So the Holy Spirit prompts you to rejoice so you can be filled with him. I like how Mark Hankins said it, and I made a note of it, and I kept it in my heart, and it's still good today. He said, the Lord told him, the Holy Spirit told him, he said, if you knew what was on the other side of your rejoicing, you would rejoice every day. Are you rejoicing every day? He said, rejoice all the time. Hallelujah. James 1:2, Passion Translation, my fellow believers, when it comes as though you were facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. You have to rejoice to refuel or refill your joy. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Job 8:21, New Living Translation. He will once again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. And I think I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. I think the Holy Spirit says stop right there. Because you need to learn to rejoice. Now, what are we taking communion for? Because everyone in this room, see, the Lord told us commandment. You got to rejoice. Why do I rejoice, sister? Because Jesus is Lord. Well, Pastor, are you talking about a forced rejoice? Let's talk about forced rejoice for a minute. Because if I ask you to rejoice, then some people look, well, he's trying to force me to laugh or force me. No, what it is helping you release your faith. You got to release your faith. You rejoice is a faith action because faith rejoices. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Doubt complains, worries, and stays sad. I'll say it again. I'll say it reversed, though. Doubt complains, doubt worries, and is sad. But faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Amen. Hallelujah. So faith is rejoicing. First thing it does is rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is Lord. The doctor's diagnosis is still sitting there. The pills are still sitting there. The pain still may be there. But what? Faith does what? Faith rejoices. Because Jesus is Lord. You rejoice in the death, burial, and resurrection. Because Jesus, God gave me Jesus. He'll give me anything and everything I need. Praise God. His body was broken for mine. Praise God. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. And by his stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me and set me free. Praise God. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cure. There's nothing in me that the blood can't change. The blood of Jesus. That's what I rejoice in. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your cup and if you're online, lift your cup up and rejoice. Hallelujah, and receive the bread, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just rejoice that this body was broken for us. You don't have to walk around with a broken body. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I just want to go to heaven. I just want to go to heaven. Just leave me alone. No, no, we're not going to leave you alone. Get healed, then go to heaven. Go with a good testimony. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say praise God. Say everybody, say, by his stripes, I am healed. So I rejoice and receive my healing, my total healing from head to toe. Jesus, here we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Take the blood and say this with me. Say, God is on my side. for the blood has been applied. Every need shall be supplied. Nothing be denied. Come on, nothing be denied. Come on, there's no promise. There's no provision that will be denied you. There's nothing will be denied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I enter into rest. I receive God's best. I'll pass every test. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now, just stand and rejoice. We're standing and rejoice right now. Hallelujah. 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 Right now. Hallelujah. Right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.